Dude, I was going to say, hey, everyone, if you watch this movie, I hope you like the sound.
I felt like I was at the fucking dentist.
Mm-hmm. And there was so much reverb on it. There's so much, like, everything had a bunch of reverb and also a bunch of, like, loud room tone.
Oh, God.
Even though they're outside.
I was going to ask, do you think there is a single true, like, sound artifact from the actual shooting of this movie that's, like, still present in the movie? I don't think so.
I don't think... Well, there is one moment we can talk about later where I think the original dialogue may have shown through.
Yes. Yep. Oh, otherwise, my God. No. Anyway, hi, everybody.
What a fun one to come back to.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. My name is Luke.
My name is Zach.
And we are brothers, and we watch free movies. And this time, we watched a fun... movie
was it fun?
Devil Hunter from 1980 on Broke Box Office.
Broke Box Office.
Devil Hunter. Or it had a lot of other names too.
Yeah.
What was it called in the actual movie that we watched? Wait, I think I have it written down. The title card that came up was El Cannibal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that should give you more of an idea of what it's about.
Sort
of.
Yeah, I want to apologize in advance if anybody watched this. like, we're really getting back into it in a big way with this.
Yeah, if you remember when we chose this one, it was because I was scrolling through randomly and you said stop, and then we just happened to stop on this one. So this was fate, I guess, that we watched this.
Yeah, let me talk about the cast a little bit, I guess. As you might be able to guess, there's not a ton going on from a lot of the people that you see here. It's also really interesting. Before I get started, where was this movie made? Like, what nationality would you ascribe to this movie? Do you know? Because I couldn't, like, figure it out.
Well, all of the credits are in Spanish.
Yeah.
And the director is Spanish. But it has a very Italian feel to it. So yeah. I don't know.
And the woman who plays the movie star is German. And the guy who plays the, like, main, you know, quote unquote good guy is Egyptian. And
what?
So, yeah, there's a lot of the rest of the cast is Spanish. But, like, I thought those two were really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, wild. Yeah. Ursula Butch Fellner plays Laura Crawford, who's kind of our final girl here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, she's German. She has like 30 something credits. A lot of them are for stuff like this.
Yeah.
We have Al Cliver, same deal. He's the guy who plays the main guy. He's from Egypt.
He does not look very Egyptian.
No, yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking when I read that.
Pretty wild.
He has like a couple of more credits, but still nothing after, I think, like 92 or 93 was like his last credit.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I thought was really interesting is this guy, Antonio Mayans, who plays Jack, who I think is the other good guy, right? Do you remember if his name was Jack?
I don't know. I referred to him as Pilot throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this guy, this is so strange, man. This guy has 315 credits.
Whoa.
As an actor, five of them are from 2024.
It's still going?
Yes.
Are any of them anything we would recognize?
Okay, I scrolled through most of it. Almost all of it is in Spanish. Almost all of it appears to be either horror or softcore porn or, you know, something in between the two.
Yeah.
I found it really fascinating. Four out of the five credits that he has from 2024 so far are all by some guy whose name is Miles John Dalton, who seems to be adapting a bunch of like the classic monster movies. He has three Dracula movies and one Frankenstein movie. Okay. And I think they're in Spanish. I think they're Spanish language, but I don't know. So he's put this guy in all his movies.
Okay.
And yeah. And
so we're in some sort of like a classic monster renaissance in Spain.
And like super, super low budget type stuff.
Huh. Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, I scrolled through the rest of it and it just, this is truly one of the more baffling careers I've seen, because to work so consistently and have so many credits and not a single one of them to be, you know, something I recognize. I guess I take for granted, though, that he is working in, you know, another market. So, you know, obviously I wouldn't have seen a lot of this stuff anyway.
Yeah, if there's still a big market for these kind of like exploitation things. Like, I don't imagine as many of them get made nowadays.
I guess by another market, I meant like Spanish language.
Well, yeah. I mean, that as well. Like, can you tell by looking at like the titles of the movies if they are this kind of thing or if they're just like Spanish TV shows?
A lot of them look like that, particularly his older stuff. Like all the stuff he did in the 80s looks exactly like this. There, including one that I just scrolled by that's called Commando Mangala, that seems to be about World War II.
Oh, Mangala. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, I just thought that was cool that guy has like a bajillion credits.
Yeah.
Everybody else is the same as those other two people that I mentioned. You know, this is pretty much all they did, except for I should shout out Gisela Hahn, I guess is probably how you say it. She's also German, and she plays the other blonde lady, the villainous blonde lady.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she has a different, you know, a decent number of things, one of which was actually a property that I even recognized. She is in The NeverEnding Story 2, which I haven't seen, but...
I guess that must mean she speaks English, at least. So
yeah, at some point.
Well, I can't believe you didn't mention the biggest star in the movie, Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump, doing the voiceover for that one guy. the pilot guy, because he really like.
Oh my god!
Oh boy. Okay, so this was directed and written, and the music was done by Jesus Franco, which is actually a name I recognize. I didn't realize this was him, but. He's kind of a guy like
really
not okay. So he did over 200 movies, writing and directing, and he was still making stuff up to his death in 2013.
Wow,
it was nothing that you would recognize.
Yeah,
but I had heard the name before just in these sort of circles, like exploitation movies, like B movies, stuff like that. I can tell you a few names just so you can get an idea, like The Diabolical Dr. Z, or The Blood of Fu Manchu, or Swedish Nympho Slaves. Okay, so, you know. And of course, he tried his hand at the cannibal movie, as we've seen here.
Yeah.
Where
does this fall in his career?
I would say, I guess, near the beginning, but he'd been working before that. He was like established before this. It's not in his first like 20 movies.
Interesting.
Which leads me to believe they're all about this quality.
What the fuck, man?
You can just get a job doing that, I guess. You know, I don't know where the money comes from, but he had this guy Julian Esteban writing with him. This dude only has 7 credits, so not quite the same. I guess he just brought him in for this one. It's interesting to note that they are both credited with pseudonyms, I guess, on this one. Jesus Franco as Clifford Brown and Julian Esteban as Julius Valerie. And I noticed when going through Franco's filmography, this is one of the few ones that had an English name. So I guess like maybe he did the thing where he was like, well, if we're going to release it in America, I'll go by Clifford Brown.
I was curious about like how movies like this even were like received at the time. Cause like I read something about how like it was banned in the UK.
It was one of the video nasties. The famous, which not surprising. I don't know exactly like what kind of market it would have been for. I wonder if you could like see it in a theater, maybe in like a porno theater. I don't really know how the whole exploitation movie thing worked back then.
Like I miss when there were different types of movie theaters. Like imagine going to see this at a fucking AMC.
they could never imagine seeing it in IMAX. Speaking of cinematography by Juan Soler, he has about 50 cinematography credits. Again, nothing you would recognize, but I did see a lot of similarities. He worked with Jesus Franco quite a few times.
Okay,
so He's just a guy in that sort of world. And I was kind of surprised. I was worried about the spotlight because I looked at a few different people and it was all, again, stuff you would never recognize. But then I landed on this guy, Antonio Molina, who did special effects for this movie. He has over 150 credits for both special effects and as an armorer, which is like, from what I understand, someone who handles weapons on set, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So again, started in the 60s, doing all of this kind of stuff, like spaghetti westerns, horror movies, exploitation movies, up until like 1999. And I recognized one of the movies that he worked on was All About My Mother, Pedro Almodovar.
Yeah.
And then,
I've seen that. That's one of the, I think I've only seen like two Almodovar movies, but that's one of them. I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, I'd never seen it, but I had heard of it. So I was like, okay, because I had noticed in his Known For section, I was like, there were some other names. And I was like, okay, where does it start?
Yeah.
So he does like, you know, 30 years of just working on like little exploitation stuff, Spanish stuff, whatever. Then he does that movie. And then in 2010, he worked on Four Lions. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
watch it.
Was that the comedy about the Israeli armed forces?
Or I think they were like Muslim guys who wanted to become like terrorists.
Okay, yeah. Wait, I'm confused.
I think it had like Riz Ahmed in it.
Yeah.
He did that in 2010, and then he worked on Jason Bourne and the Sisters Brothers and Terminator Dark Fate and Wonder Woman 1984 and Uncharted and Game of Thrones.
Shit. That's awesome.
So he went from this fucking movie to working on like Game of Thrones.
The Sisters Brothers is a cool movie too. Have you seen that?
That is, I do like that movie.
That's a fun one.
And I noticed that on a lot of those bigger name ones, it said part of like a Spain unit. So I guess he probably just still lives and works in Spain. And then whenever like big movies come there, he's got so much experience. He's like, I can give you guns.
to be, you know, one of the guys. In a certain market like that. That's cool.
Yeah, so good job, Antonio Molina. He probably is the most successful of all these people who worked on this. So, there's one thing. Did you read the YouTube comments of this video?
I read a couple of them, yeah.
Because there's one, I think, that will encapsulate one of the major problems with it, where this one YouTube comment is just, this is some racism story.
This is some racism story.
This is some racism story.
Yeah.
I wanted to get that out of the way at the beginning. It's a cannibal movie. That's what they, you know.
It's truly so offensive to everybody who's not a white guy. There's so much wrong with this movie. Too.
It led me to like, you know, when I think about like exploitation movies, you know, I'm like, I like those. But what I'm thinking of is like, you know, if we talk about stuff we've done on the podcast, like Vigilante or, you know, like sort of a crime movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. This kind of thing to me is something else. And it's more exploitative for sure.
Yes. And it just to me felt like, because, you know, I don't have anything against the genre either, but like they're just, I don't want to get too far ahead of us, but like there's not a story here. There's no
also that
story being told. It's so redundant and so fucking long and just
and that also leads to the problem of like all of this sort of exploitation, like the shocking stuff is just there to be shocking, like there's no reason for it.
Yeah.
And that also is like, okay, you know, I can watch someone's like head explode or whatever if it's part of like a fun action-y movie, but if I'm just watching like a lady get sexually assaulted for no reason, I'm like, why am I watching this?
It's interesting to think about the way that, you know, and I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing. I think in a lot of ways, you know, you and I growing up with fucking like rotten.com and like we're exposed to like this type of shit. Like I think about back in the 80s, like
you couldn't
find real life video of like terrible things happening and real That's life true, gore yeah. and yada yada. And now again, I want to make a point that I do not seek that stuff out, and honestly I never did, but as a teenager in 2005 on the internet you stumble upon shit and I just so like I don't know if I just feel I don't feel the need for this anymore. Like I don't get
you can
it.
See much more like realistic and just real like horrible things way more easily.
Yeah. Or if also, you want to see a you know, a good scary movie that actually has a story, you can find one of those.
You can do that. Also, you can find porn, so you don't have to have this movie had the most nudity I've ever seen in a movie.
Yep.
And the most like zoom ins on a lady's vagina.
Yep. And like, also
what?
I'm pretty sure we got to do a little star by the episode for, I believe, the first booty hole in Brokeback Office.
The first butthole. Is it the first penis also? Because you see that guy's
might be the
a
first
lot.
Peen. Yeah. You see a couple peens for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen a butthole in a movie before. That was wild.
Yeah.
Is this making anyone want to watch it? God. Yeah. So
we're somewhere. I assumed we were somewhere in South America or Central America.
That
That's
my
the vibe
assumption.
You get.
Yeah.
Although
it's so funny, I don't know, there's like this like tribe of people or whatever you want to call it living in the jungle on this island, and they're all, you know, sort of South American looking, I guess, except one of them seems like an Asian guy, and I was kind of like, how did he get there?
They're all you know, really dark skinned, but definitely do appear to be of like distinct ethnicities from one another.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not, it's like a group of like unrelated people.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they really hand wave that away.
They're basically just not white. The casting call is just like not white people come here.
Yeah, exactly.
Be monstrous. And of course it starts with some naked lady running in the jungle from some people chasing her. And
this whole first sequence, it's pretty long. It's like the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Dude, it's
and
so
it's like
long.
A juxtaposition between our, you know, this first girl who, like you said, and we don't know her name. She's just the first kill that we see in the, the, you know, cannibal god monster type of guy who is going to kind of be our main antagonist.
Yeah, Mr. Pink Eye or whatever you want to call him.
Mr. Pink Eye.
That's like the only like monster makeup is he has like weird eyes.
Dude. And it's really bad also. I was going to wait, but you know, I don't want to talk too much shit, but that makeup was not good.
Yeah. It was like gross in a way, which I, you know, maybe it was supposed to be. I don't know.
But yeah, the whole first sequence is intercut between that like little chase and then this like movie star blonde woman who has just arrived in town and is driving around in her convertible and waving at people.
Yeah,
and
that was so funny. She's just driving around this like small town, presumably in South America, like waving at people. And they're like, who are you?
Like she was like acting like she was in a fucking parade.
She's
just driving.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's world famous.
Yeah.
Maybe that's. Yeah.
And then pretty immediately, I thought there was going to be a little bit more of a buildup, but pretty immediately she gets kidnapped from her hotel room right out of the bathtub.
Yeah. Of course, because she's also nude at this point.
Yep.
Taking a bath.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the lady running through the woods is captured and strapped to what are those things called? It's like the X that you strap people to. I don't know, whatever. It's the big X. And then this monster man comes and eats her heart, I think they say later. Like that's his deal.
Yeah, he basically just eats people, and we don't know any more specifics because they never show any good specifics.
Yeah. That's the other problem with this movie is it's like, okay, if you're gonna make a gore movie or whatever, it's bad at that also, because what it does is he'll approach someone and then it'll cut to like an unrelated scene with completely different lighting of someone playing around with like something that looks like intestines, maybe.
Yep.
And then it'll cut back. And
I feel like I sound like a fucking broken record, but like, it's just bad storytelling. It's just, and there's so much you can do with a limited budget. Like this is not a budget thing. It's the same fucking like blasted out, like whited out shitty footage of some fake intestines that they use over and over again. It's awful.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of what was it? I watched this movie a while ago called I think it was called like The Wizard of Gore. Because you know there were all like gore movies were a thing at some point, like you know 70s, 80s, whatever. And that one was like better than this one, but it was funny because it was about like this magician who did like these evil magic tricks on people and like murder them, whatever. But whenever he would like kill people, he would like pull their intestines out and just like play around with them and like show them to the camera and be like, "Whoa, look at this." And it kind of reminded me of that, where you're just like, whoa, check out these intestines.
Yeah.
I'm like, these could be anything. Like,
yeah, they were trying to flex, but
it's like the movie version of when you go into a haunted house and they like close your eyes and stick your hand in this, like, you know, bowl of spaghetti, and it'll gross you out, maybe.
Yeah. Brains.
Like, okay. Ooh. I guess it might be that, but
yeah,
how would I know? It's not connected to any person.
Oh man, this is where I thought I put this note later, but I already had noticed. This is my other maybe biggest gripe with the entire fucking movie, which is going to sound insane when I tell you what it is. This dude, the cinematographer, loves a zoom.
Yeah.
So fucking much. Like, listener, as we progress through this movie, just imagine that every single shot that we bring up is a real far away shot. And we zoom all the way in to the action that's happening. And then we zoom all the way back out. Every fucking time. It is so tiresome. Oh my god.
Yeah, zoom in on like guys walking in the woods, zoom in on ladies dancing and shaking their butts around.
But just the fact that it's the slow zoom all the way in and slow zoom all the way back out every fucking time. Just cut.
Just constant.
Oh my god.
Oh, and also constantly, as we sort of brought up at the beginning of the show, there's like jungle drums playing and like the weird monster noise. Anytime the monster is even around, not on screen even, it's like, I can't even remember what the sound was because I tried to block it out so hard.
It's gross. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and so what is even happening?
So whoever in America has been notified that this movie star has been kidnapped and the ransom is $6 million. And so they're
forgot about that part.
They're going to send, what's the fucking blonde guy's name? Peter. Yeah. They're going to send Peter and he is going to go save the day. But then the cop also at the last second is like, hey, if you manage to save the movie star and bring back the $6 million, I'll give you 10%. And that becomes Peter's fucking super objective for the entire movie is to get money.
This is an interesting, the way he's like sort of brought in it, this feels like, I don't know, movie four in like a series about Peter the cool rescue man or whatever, because you're just like, who is this guy? Like, what the fuck? I think, like, I don't know if they say it in the movie, but like reading the description, it's like, oh, he's a Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, sure. Like, you get the sense that the pilot was a Vietnam vet because he had that like sort of Vietnam flashback when they first got to the
jungle. He talks about it. Yeah.
But they never mentioned Peter. Like, I don't know. He's just this like mustache blonde guy, like an 80s cop.
It's like he's trying to do the cool, like kind of detached, like cool spy kind of thing, but they forgot to make him likable.
Yeah, they also forgot to have him fucking do anything. until like the last 10 minutes of the movie.
So
he heads down there. The kidnappers have brought the lady, I don't know why, to this fucking island with these the people aren't cannibals. They just have this dude, this like weird monster man around who is a cannibal and is like sort of a god, I guess.
I guess that's part of what we're supposed to take away from it, is that they are not actually cannibals and just the monster guy is.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the stinger at the end even.
Yeah, but they seem totally into him at least at first.
Yeah, and at the very least like beholden to him, like
under
his, you know, under his hand.
Yeah. And they have like the weird like tiki head thing.
Yeah.
With the same fucked up eyes as the monster man. And I was like, can he see through that? Do you think there's anything supernatural about the monster man? Or is he just like a weird guy?
It seemed like there was. There seemed like they were trying to draw some connection between him and like that one woman who was part of the tribe. Like they were connected somehow. I don't really know, how.
Yeah. The lady whose butthole you see.
Yes. There's the people in the tribe, like whenever the monster is, you know, doing his monstering, the people in the tribe sometimes will do like this dance. And that's when we get a lot of the like just zooming right in on a Bush over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And these dudes are playing the drums constantly.
Yeah.
As you say, they do this whenever the monster's out hunting, but the monster's out hunting for like the whole movie.
Yeah.
So I was like, have these dudes been playing these drums nonstop for like days now? It's wild. Yeah. So, and you know, here's where one of the kidnappers like sexually assaults Laura, and it's just like,
and holy shit, that scene is too long.
Yeah.
Just entirely too long.
He keeps going like, oh, he tells them to get out of here. And one of the ADR is so bad also. I don't know if we mentioned that yet. And one of the guy, other kidnappers is like, hey, what's going on? Yeah. And the lady kidnapper is like, Thomas is having some fun. Ha 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 ha. You're like, what? Yeah. Even if you're like being evil about it, you wouldn't be like, hey, what's going on? Like, hey, what's going on in here?
And also we find out later that he's like her partner.
Yeah.
They have like a scene later where they kiss and they're like, oh, I love you. You're so bad.
She's just totally, she's a cuck, maybe. She loves getting cucked.
Evil cuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Let's see. Peter is like, goes to investigate, I guess, and immediately is given a letter. I guess it's from the people. Now that I'm thinking about it, is the lady who gave him the letter also the lady he finds on the boat later? Do you think?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. It might as well be.
Yeah, the boat lady was a big question mark for me. I have no fucking clue who she is or where she came from.
But yeah, he immediately is just given a letter that's like, come here, which I guess makes sense because they're trying to ransom her. They're not like hiding.
Yeah.
So he goes to the helicopter. He takes a helicopter to the island. I have so many notes peppered out that are just like, wow, the ADR is really bad.
Yeah. Just the whole audio mix is all at the same level. So like the audio and the sounds of their footsteps and the sounds of like birds and insects and the sounds of the drums are all at the same level. It's just cacophony.
It's hard to listen to. Also, I'll bring it up now because we're talking about the sound. Did you notice that the scene later where they're fighting on the beach, in the water, and it just kind of sounds like someone's splashing around in a tub?
Yes, dude. Like, I took that note too.
Like this doesn't sound very violent at all.
It sounds like someone's playing with tub toys. Yeah.
Yeah, which must have been. That's the Foley artist. They're just like, they didn't do any sound on the day. They're just like, fuck it, we'll do it in post.
It truly seems like they were not mixing sound on set at all. At all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And here's my other note. I mentioned Forrest Gump earlier, but the pilot sounds kind of like a mix between Forrest Gump and Snagglepuss, where he's like, I'm landing on the beach. And like, oh, God.
Landing on the beach, even.
Oh, this reminds me of Vietnam.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Dude, I just reminded myself, actually, of, we'll talk about it later. I saw Dune last night.
Oh, hell yeah.
Christopher Walken is in.
I know. He's the Padishah Emperor of the Known Universe, right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And he still talks like Christopher Walken.
That's amazing. Good for him.
Anyways, shit, what's happening here?
I took down a line here, which is the first one that made me think of Peter specifically. Like, you're kind of also a bad guy though, because him and the dude are like walking off, and the other guy says something along the lines of like, well, shouldn't we give them all the money? Like, what if they look at the, because Peter's whole plan is to give him a bag full of fake cash so he can keep the real cash. And the other guy's like, well, what if they look at the and they find it's fake and then they kill the girl? And Peter goes, well, that's just a risk we'll have to take.
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking what?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And it's so funny. Like, I guess we'll get to it in a second, but like the deal goes wrong. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
And then he's just kind of like, the lady runs off into the woods and he's just like, eh, fuck it. He's just, he doesn't go after her at all. He's just like, I'm just going to leave. Like, I don't care. Well, I guess maybe he thought that the bad guy still had the lady because he tries to set up another handoff. But okay.
A lot of the rest of this, by the way, if it sounds confusing as we talk about it, is just them walking around on this island. That's pretty much the rest of the movie. They never have a direction. They never have an objective or like a thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
They're just walking around. They're just walking around this island.
Peter and the helicopter pilot just hang out drinking on the boat for a long time. You're like, what?
Dude.
Yeah. I did want to mention one thing about the first handoff. You know, he's like, bring the girl over here and I'll give you the cash. And they're like, okay, whatever. So they like are in the middle, and just as he like drops the cash down, some other of the bad guys start shooting, and the girl runs off and the other bad guy runs back with the money, and Peter just starts doing like somersaults. He's just like every shot, he's like, there's 10 shots of him just like doing a somersault. And I guess all the bullets are missing.
Dude, Peter is straight up playing Dark Souls right here.
Yeah. He is. Yeah. Dude, he is. He's evading everything.
Oh, I thought that scene was goofy as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's real. He really gonna get good. Yeah. And so, you know, the deal goes awry, but the girl gets away from the kidnappers at least.
Yeah. And the girl gets away. The two guys in the two, you know, quote unquote good guys sort of like fake their death because they get in the helicopter to try and flee. One of the bad guys is able to like shoot the helicopter in such a way that it's going to go down. So they go like, oh, we got to jump out. And that scene is also fucking hilarious because they just kind of open the door and just kind of just like lean out. And there's no sound and there's no pan and there's no nothing. And then the scene is just over. It's like, great.
Oh, I guess they jumped out. And then you see the helicopter sort of flying towards a mountain.
Yeah.
And then there's a very obvious cut from the helicopter to an explosion. And I don't do the bad guys ever even believe that they died though. Like, I don't know if they do.
I don't know.
And then the Peter and the pilot try and head to the boat where the bad guys, they're like, we need an escape route. So they get to the boat.
Yep.
And there's some girl on the boat who we don't even know who it is.
Yeah. This is, we talked about her briefly.
She's got a shirt on.
Of course. Yes.
She never has a shirt on in the whole movie. You never don't see her boobs.
And like, the first sequence with her is truly abysmal. It's very, very poorly done. Like, and I get it, we're in a boat, it's like tight quarters, but like literally the dude like walks down the stairs and she has a gun in her hand and like kind of points it at him, and he just kind of like grabs her hands and sort of jostles her around a little bit, and then she's unconscious.
Yeah, like you know, how'd that happen? I don't know.
People in this movie gain and lose consciousness at will. Like it's truly just whatever the director says. Like, you're unconscious.
Maybe,
why?
Maybe she just has really low blood pressure. And she's like, oh, I'm getting lightheaded.
Nah, I stood up too fast.
Yeah. And then, you know, the pilot guy is like a fucking creep towards her and is like, you know, it looks like he's about to grab her boob while she's unconscious, but then he kind of like reaches past and like brushes her face or something. It's wild.
And she wakes up and they're like, don't worry, we're not gonna hurt you. But like, also, you were just unconscious in there with them and you're still nude, so they left you nude at the very, very least. So these guys are clearly fucking villains. Like, what are we doing here, gang?
I mean, she doesn't seem to care because then she tells him like a few things like, well, I'm going back to sleep now. You didn't want like a shirt or anything, no?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then they just hang out for a while longer, drinking beer and whatnot.
That was the scene that seriously reminded me of, like, it's out of fucking Blazing Saddles. This dude is shirtless, sitting on the boat, has an almost completely full beer, takes one sip, and then throws it off the side of the boat.
Yeah.
Like, they do such a bad job of attempting at all to make this guy likable. He's so hateable.
You also got to wonder, like, I guess, you know, this might be like giving them too much faith, but I wonder how many takes they did of that. And they're just like wasting all this beer. I mean, I can't imagine they did more than one take of anything in this movie.
It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's the boat plot. At one point he like leaves for no reason, I guess. I don't remember why he gets off the boat at all. And then the pilot and the lady on the boat decide to do it.
We didn't even mention like the two kind of henchmen of the bad guys. One of the henchmen dies at this point.
I was gonna like circle back to what's happening on the island.
Yeah.
The good guys and the bad guys have like almost no contact throughout this movie.
Yeah, truly.
But yeah, you're talking about like the tweaker guy.
Yeah, the guy who got like hung from the tree.
Yeah,
and then his buddy. It kind of like finds him and like he gets, you know, a little blood dripping on him in classic style, and he's like, oh no. And then of course, as we all do, decides to look directly up and open his mouth as wide as possible.
Yeah. I just stand there as the blood keeps falling down. Like, no, how could this happen?
Oh, it's still happening. Oh no.
Like he wanted to gargle that blood, dude.
That guy I think was the worst actor. The henchman with the stupid hat.
Yeah.
He was truly awful.
He was bad.
Yeah.
And then I guess his friend's head falls off. Like, why did his head fall off?
No idea.
Also, did it look to you the upside down corpse that was hanging from the tree had a different haircut than the the character that was supposed to be? Because when it showed the corpse, I was like, who's this? Who's that supposed to be? I guess it was supposed to be that guy, but it did not look like him.
I had the same thought, man. Yeah.
And at least get like the hair right.
The blood also looks terrible. The blood is very bright red.
It is,
which I mean, blood is not that color, just straight that's up.
A product of the time, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does not look good.
Yeah.
I mean, it still kind of is gross. There's like the movie has gross parts, but it's not scary or good at all. So there's no reason to watch it, you know?
Yeah.
The spoiler, I guess, for the end. What else?
This, I don't know if I'm skipping anything. Let me know if I am. But for a lot of the rest of the movie, and this was the part that I personally had the most trouble with just watching. Just it is not fun to watch. The like tribes people are just like, I guess they're preparing the actress for like her sacrifice or whatever, but there is a whole lot of footage of just these people caressing her unconscious naked body.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. It fucking sucks to watch. I hated everything about it.
They do that, then they go take her to like a waterfall and they wash her, and then they come back to the camp and they like rub like flowers on her and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like the most, if you took out all of the, I don't know, unnecessary nudity and unnecessary, like, whatever.
Zooms.
The plot of this movie is, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's the stupidest thing. It's nothing is going on here. Like, I've seen actual porn with more of a plot than this fucking movie has. It's insane, dude. And that's what it kind of becomes for a while.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny. Like, I have to imagine, like, it, you know, like as we were saying, if you go see this in like a theater or whatever, and you start like you know, jerking off to like the hot sex parts, you gotta like, you gotta be fast because you might see some guts coming up pretty soon.
You never know. What's right around that?
You're like, okay. Oh shit, damn it. Okay, you just gotta wait. You're like, wait until the next scene. Okay, now this lady's back. Okay,
hold.
Yeah. Oh boy. Because that's all that is happening. All of the henchmen die. Like all of the one of the henchmen just falls into like a spike trap.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. That was maybe my favorite part of the movie, because that was kind of a fun, goofy shot, and I was like, look at that.
Yeah, that was good. the lady henchman, or the lady kidnapper. I don't know. She seems like she's in charge. She gets killed by the monster man.
Yep.
The
monster man also goes out to the boat and kills helicopter pilot and boat lady.
Yeah.
Who have no situational awareness while they're fucking. Like, if you're having sex and someone walks in the room, like,
you can still tell.
You know, you notice.
Or like if someone gets onto a boat that you are on, I think you would also notice that. Jesus Christ. As we sort of alluded to earlier, there's a part before the henchman guy dies, the second henchman at least, where him and the leader of the bad guys are walking through the woods, and the dubbing just kind of stops for a little while.
Yeah.
And they're just speaking Spanish.
When that scene came up, I was like, oh shit, I hope it goes back.
I know. I was like, is this what the rest of I had the weirdest thought where I went back in time in the movie, and I was like, has the whole movie been like this? Did I like dream that I understood what was happening?
There's so little substance that like it may as well have been.
Yeah. This is a movie, like if the whole thing was in Spanish, you could understand it.
Yeah.
But it goes back to English after a little while. The last bad guy shows up at the beach, and Peter kills him in the water, as we were saying, and little splashy sounds.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to, or wait, does he go to the boat?
Also, this was a big stupid plot hole that I thought was just hilarious. After the monster guy kills helicopter pilot and boat lady, Peter gets back to the boat at some point and swims out to the boat. But before he reaches the boat, it cuts and we go back to the movie star.
Yeah.
And then the next time we see Peter,
Yeah.
The boat never gets brought up again, ever.
I just realized as we were talking about it, like,
yeah,
you don't really, he just is back on the island.
We never see him discover the death of his friend or discover the death of boat lady.
He never mentions them again. Nope. Like, they're never mentioned again in the movie.
Nope.
He's just like, well, fuck it. Who cares?
Truly but the worst guy.
He does go and I guess like, okay, why did the monster man not kill Laura and just kind of like drag her away?
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
Because everyone else, it's like he sees them and he immediately kills them
and eats them. Yeah, and that's his whole thing. Heart. Yeah,
maybe he was full. Maybe that was it.
he was just like, full.
Oh, this looks nice, but I'll save it for later.
Yeah, there's a whole, you know, like final kind of showdown between mm-hmm. Peter and the monster, and they're on a big cliff. And this was one of my very favorite parts of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Because they do a climbing the hallway.
I had that exact same thing written down, climbing the hallway. Yeah, dude, it's the old Batman TV show.
And
yeah.
He's not good at it. Like, you can tell because mm-hmm. his knees are making contact with the surface before his toes are. So, like, he's very mm-hmm. clearly supported by his knees. And it's
plus he passes by, like, a little bush that's kind of, like, sticking straight directly out of the thing. I was like, what? This bush is growing straight out of this rock face?
Oh, man.
Yeah, so...
This whole movie is so close to being like if Mel Brooks ever made an exploitation film.
Yeah. Like, it's not so bad it's good, but you could see how it could be, you know?
Yeah.
Like there are little glimpses like that. I passed by a note earlier where the ADR also is so terrible, but it's like almost funny where at one point she's like, he ties up the bad lady and she's like, you swine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, but and then we get a fight between him and the monster man on the top of the cliff. I don't even remember what happens. It's kind of, if we're gonna make references to stuff, I've never seen the original Star Trek, but I've seen people making fun of it, and it reminds me of like what I would imagine Kirk fighting a monster would be like.
Yeah, he almost gets thrown off the cliff, but then like he gets back up, he stabs the monster with like a branch, and then he gets the monster in a full Nelson. For quite a while. That's like pretty much the rest of the fight is them just like slamming each other around.
Uh-huh. I don't know why, if you're fighting a naked dude, just like kick him in the balls, like
kick
his
nuts.
Balls.
Yeah, why not?
Or like, what was it? Have you seen that video where the guy's like, grab his dick and twist it? Twist his dick. Yeah, just do that. It would probably hurt.
Oh man.
But, nope. Instead, he just kind of pushes him off the mountain.
Yeah.
And he dies, I guess.
And then, all of the tribes people seem like relieved, right?
Well, at first they just kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
And then they go back to their camp and they see that the sort of lady with the connection to the monster has sort of, is she dead?
She looked dead.
Laying there. And then they seem psyched.
And they like push over the little like idol statue thing they have.
Yeah.
And then they sort of all like do like a little dance.
Yeah. They're
really
happy.
Interesting.
Hmm. It's like maybe
they were the victims all along.
I was gonna say maybe they're not savages after all.
Oh boy.
And then Peter leaves. Laura's got her top off again. I feel like if I were her, I would not feel like doing anything sexual at the moment.
Yeah, dude.
Like, but you
she's
know.
Just been through the most traumatizing thing you could possibly imagine. And she's just like, thanks for saving me. Like,
yeah, right.
It's so goofy. Oh my god.
It's over.
Jesus Christ. I'm just sorry. I'm just sorry.
This might be the worst thing that we've watched.
It's I said to Katie as soon as it was over, I was like, I don't know if that's the worst movie I've ever watched. It might be.
It's okay. It's like interesting because I don't think it's like technically the worst movie I've ever seen, although it is close.
Yeah.
But there's so much more that's objectionable about it that it's like, it adds up. It's so bad.
I was so mad about the zooms because the first time it happened, I was like, this is cool. Like, we've got some fun camera work happening. This is a very like Friday the 13th fucking zoom. And then it just kept happening.
Just keeps happening.
Every fucking shot.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I felt the same way. This is a weird tangent, but... It's like Yorgos Lanthimos. and the way he has his actors act in that sort of like weird stilted way.
Yeah.
Where it really works for Barry Keoghan and the Killing of a Sacred Deer, because he's supposed to be this like weird, unknowable character.
Yeah.
But then everyone talks like that and you're like, oh, that's just what you do. It's not like you're not doing it for a purpose. You're just, that's just what you do.
Huh.
And, yeah. You know, maybe he does it for a purpose. I'm sure he's doing it for a much different reason than they're doing this here. But you describing it just now reminded me of that. It's like,
yeah.
It, rather than just being like, I don't know, a tool to use for a specific purpose, you just use it for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I totally agree. That's why I feel like he's hit or miss for me. Like sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. I like the favorite also.
Yeah. The favorite is sick. I work
there. Yeah. I like they were just talking about better movies. Let me tell you about Dune, dude. Dune was really good. My recommendation is to not watch this movie and go pay money to watch Dune.
Fuck yeah, dude. I want to rewatch the first one just because it's been a couple months. And then I'm going to try and go see it in IMAX maybe tomorrow. I have a little time tomorrow.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. We didn't see it in IMAX. We saw it in Ultra AVX, which is like the closest. And we were one row in front of the D-Box seats, so we could feel like the vibration that was coming off of them. Nice. It was pretty nice. Yeah, don't watch this fucking movie.
Don't ever watch this. It's truly abysmal. It's
trash, dog.
It's absolutely awful.
It's free.
But it's free.
It's free. At least we didn't pay for it.
Oh, man. I'm thanks like, for listening, everyone.
Movie tickets to go to the theater here are like $20.
Oof.
It's crazy. Anyways.
Oofa doofa.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the show. I do, if you've got a little bit of time, we have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, apparently I signed up to Canopy using the Broke Box Office email. The 150th anniversary movie game. Interesting. I don't understand this email. This is from our father.
Great.
He says, how do you sign up for this? Is it rigged? I bet it's rigged against the Wisdom Generation members. Well, you don't sign up for it. It's just the thing that we do. And
yeah, I mean, you can draft your own 10 of the movies we've covered if you want.
Actually, yeah. Send in your 10 favorite movies we've ever talked about.
Yeah.
And then he also mentioned recently, I'll have to figure that out later, that he sent in like an audio message at one point.
Oh,
I was
nice.
I didn't even know you could do that. So I'll have to figure out how to work Spotify for podcasters or whatever.
Dad's teaching us stuff about technology.
But thanks for the email anyways. If anyone else wants to email, brokeboxoffice@gmail.com. Send us your list of your 10 favorite movies you've ever done.
And give us feedback on the show. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Give us ratings and reviews on whatever platform you listen on.
Follow us on Instagram at brokeboxoffice.
That still exists.
Yeah. and then come back sometime soon for should we go through and pick something, or should we just say
sure, what do you think?
Let's see here, scrolling through top free full-length movies. I will say, while we're looking for movies, apparently, and have you heard about this, Luke? There's another podcast that does this same thing.
No.
called Free with Ads. I don't know why I'm plugging them. They stole my idea. No, but they're and it's, you know, it's like actual like people you've heard of.
Do they have wider reach than we do?
I think they might. They are on Maximum Fun, a big podcast network. So I was like, oh well.
Hey, some network out there, adopt us, please.
Yeah,
we'll be your movie show.
Yeah, we could be the competition for these like famous people doing the same thing that we're doing.
Man, fuck it. LPN doesn't have a movie show yet. Marcus Parks, Last Podcast Network.
Oh, okay. Yeah, reach out to him.
Put us in,
guess
coach.
It won't help that I didn't know what it was. ooh, here's a movie that says Scott Adkins. I love that guy.
Ooh, okay.
Do is this real? They're speaking Spanish, but I think they might just be that part. okay, yeah, it's real.
Sweet.
We will watch Close Range. Movie starring Scott Adkins, who's one of my favorite action guys.
Close Range.
I will say, he's a great action guy. Not always in great movies, so we'll see. I think it'll be fun either way.
So someone has to find out, and it's gonna be us.
It's gonna be us. Dude, that other podcast would never. I thought they only watch real movies. They would never watch Devil Hunter. What the
They've
fuck
never seen fucking Devil Hunter.
Yeah. I also saw that one of the other names for it was Sexo Cannibal.
Sexo Cannibal.
Yeah. And also, well, I won't say that one. A racist name to go with the racist movie.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Well, so, cool. Go check that out and come back and join us.
Yeah.
And don't
will be better.
Ever watch Devil Hunter.
Don't get eaten by a big old monster man with weird eyes.
Yeah. That would also be scary.
A twist his dick.
Bye.